to record our next one of these lovely things.
And we're all sitting a metre and a half apart from each other.
Yes, we are, definitely.
It's a lovely social distancing podcast. But however, you don't need to social distance from us because you can just sit and listen and thoroughly enjoy what we've got to say.
That's right.
That's right. That's why podcasts and radio and all those things are wonderful things, because you're not going to catch anything apart from some inspiration, perhaps.
Yes,
this is true.
That's why we're here. I'm here, Carolyn, president of Adelaide Plains Poets, and
I'm Michelle, a member of Adelaide Plains Poets and a happy participant.
I'm Jeanette. Hi.
Okie dokie, so Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse News is we're no longer meeting at our favourite hotel in Gawler because of this stupid virus.
It's been closed down.
It's closed.
Temporarily. So instead, we're going to be putting our meetings online on our website, which is under reconstruction at the moment, and hopefully we'll be ready to roll by Thursday.
That would be wonderful,
we'll
thank you.
We'll look at various options, including a blog, where we can all put up work, and it should be fun. And I'm hoping that then by the time the festival comes around, Justin will have set it up so we can do festival stuff and keep up with the blogging and maybe have a forum and other. So our website will be more interactive. So good things come out of
there are actually lots of good things crawling out.
Well, look, the beauty of being a writer is that you don't need to get out and about.
No.
So given the current climate, which I must repeat about 500 times a day at work, you can still write, you can still enjoy writing, and most particularly you can enjoy reading.
Yes, indeed.
For sure, yep.
Yes.
I've started reading. Look, I'm really bad about reading books. I have actually started reading a book.
Well, some of the books on this list that we're going to be talking about today are very good reading for anyone stuck at
adventure.
Home and a bit bored.
And you're getting bored. We're going to adventure books.
So we get adventure through books because
indeed.
How better to have an adventure than through a book?
And in the the immediate purpose, we have a Facebook page, Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse, and we're going there and doing things, putting our homework up there. What they are, the prompts, the homework and the writing exercise prompts. And anybody at all can go along there and do the prompts too. We don't mind. We're willing to share everything we have there.
Yes, we want them. And they'll be on the website too. So
excellent.
Which I'll put a link to on the forum soon. Literary news, and because the news has been so dominated by one very non-literary topic, I've forgotten all about it.
We'll have some literary news. The Green Goddess rose out the ashes of her, the busyness of her new job, and submitted to the Malala Crossroad Chronicles.
And Jeanette put in her lazy cook piece, which is always lovely, and it's available online. If you go to Facebook Malala Crossroad Chronicle page, you can have a look at it in colour, and in colour it's much more beautiful than when it's black and white.
This podcast, I was lucky enough to go to the Adelaide Writers Week. Unfortunately, I could only attend one of the days due to work commitments, but it was worth it. I cannot rave enough about this week. It is such a wonderful collection of literature, of sharing, of camaraderie. I listened to John Marsden discussing his schools, and I managed to get his latest book about schools and got that signed. I actually bought two copies, one for a friend of mine. I went to go see Bruce Pascoe, but unfortunately he couldn't attend.
That was a terrible shame that he wasn't here.
It was a terrible shame. But
and what happened to him?
Exactly, but another writer was there, another Indigenous writer, and I bought the book Sand Talk, which I am absolutely loving. My mum and my auntie listened to an author and bought a book called The Cutout Girl, which was actually about the Netherlands during World War II and didn't really present the Netherlands in a very good light, which was very interesting because there's always been a little bit of a culture that we did pretty much all these wonderful things during the war. Well, like most countries during the war, we've got a dark history. And there was a fantastic book put out called The Science of Fate, which
sounds interesting.
Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. Try and get the book. You have to order the book in, so we might all wait for that for a while. But just really lovely to listen to these speakers. Maurice Gleitzman and Julia Donaldson were there. And myself and my mum and my auntie. So my mum and my auntie are like, you know, 68 and 70. And we were sitting amongst all these children thoroughly enjoying the show and bought some books for my then two-week-old granddaughter. But she will definitely have a love of books. So it was lovely. Toddled up to the main street of Adelaide, ate some laksa, went back again. It's free, people. Yep. There is no reason not to go.
I really enjoyed our Adelaide Plains afternoon when we went to the library.
That was fun, watching some of the Writers' Week.
Of course,
So we'll move on to the poet and writer discussion, and we're continuing with the BBC Significant Books list, which we started discussing at the beginning of the year. And this month, the topic is adventure.
Okay, adventure. City of, I don't know how you say this, City of Bohane by Kevin Barry. Don't know anything about that one.
No. Eye of the Needle by Ken Follett, is it?
Follett.
For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway.
His Dark Materials trilogy by Philip Pullman.
Ivanhoe by Walter Scott.
Mr. Standfast by John Buchan.
The Big Sleep, Raymon Chandler.
The Hunger Games, Susan Collins.
Jack Aubrey novels by Patrick O'Brien.
And the Lord of the Rings trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm sure all of us have at least heard of that because the others may be not quite so, but Lord of the Rings you can't really get past.
I realise I'm not an adventure reader. I've pinched the Philip Pullman book.
Northern Lights is one of my favourite books, I think.
Oh, really?
I love Philip Pullman's writing.
So I'm going to have to try and be a bit more of an adventure reader, maybe. That's what's been lovely about these books, where you just suddenly realise the genre that you intend to move
And you
toward.
Might be so inspired that you write your own adventure book and we have a female adventure person instead of all these male ones.
That would be good. See, Susan Collins is the only one on that list, isn't she? Yeah.
Yes. I think, actually, looking at this, and I've realised, and especially watching the film of Whom the Bell Tolls, because I've started rereading it, just even to work out whether I have read it or not, because I thought I had.
Yeah.
And when I'm rereading it, yes, it was one of those first year uni books I read for history and kind of slipped out of memory. Definitely have read it. And it's influenced my writing, and I hadn't realised that. So there's elements of going, that's, definitely part of that mind mosh. But I think my writing does tend to more adventure.
Yeah.
And this is a genre I like, but the problem is that a lot of it is written very specifically for a male audience, and that's what I find off-putting. The books I particularly like, so two of my favourite, His Dark Materials and Lord of the Rings, are not aimed at a specific audience. His Dark Materials is supposedly young adult, but they're the kind of books that anyone could pick up and read and enjoy.
Yeah, good young adult novel should be like that, I think. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of women writing adventure type fiction for young adult. Well, Ina Blyton, to begin with, introduced us all to adventure when we were children with her books. So, and I actually feel that for all her flaws as a writer, and they certainly are many.
I love the adventures. No adults were. You go home for tea, maybe, but the kids just do their own stuff.
Yeah, they were massively influential over generations of children, and I actually think Ina Blyton should be under adventure as significant.
I had a huge collection of Ina Blyton books.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Famous Secret Five, Seven. Secret Seven.
Yep, love them all.
My favourite was Children of Willow Farm. They were always heading off on adventures.
I really disliked Secret Seven.
Did you?
Yeah. I never got into Secret Seven. I enjoyed Famous Five. Fabulous Four I liked.
I didn't know that.
I never read that one. I just read Willow collection. Farm and The Magic Faraway Tree.
Love The Magic Faraway Tree.
So, dear listeners, we're definitely...
I love climbing trees when I was a kid.
I sort of outgrew them very early, I think, the Magic Fire Age. I found them very childish. Very,
did you?
Yeah.
Maybe I was being a child and I was enjoying being a child.
That's because we were children. Jeanette was 40 at the age of 8.
Yeah. I know people like that.
Probably everyone treated me like a child in the family, so I was rebelling against being treated like
you. You're a rebel.
Look at that, a little bit of...
Contrary, that's me.
My Janet called me Mary, quite contrary, which is lovely. Because what do you expect me to do if... Why am I stubborn? Because my dad made me stubborn with that little rhyme he told me. My middle name is Yes, Mary.
Ivanhoe is also hugely influential. That really created the whole Robin Hood myth. As we know, Robin Hood comes from Ivanhoe. It's interesting that Robin Hood is a minor character in Ivanhoe, but it was Robin Hood that was the one that stuck in the popular imagination.
Well, he's giving to the poor, take from the rich, everyone else, the rich losing their dollars and they're going to the poor, because that's like the way things should be. That's, we've always liked that.
Mm. I've got the book, but I don't intend to read it. But I did watch a BBC adaptation from about 97 of it, which I really enjoyed. It amplified the role of the women a little bit, apparently. But they were strong female characters, and I think they were still fairly strong in the books, given when it was written. But that had a huge influence over all of 19th century literature, Sir Walter Scott's writing. Sort of watching so many different adaptations from the 19th century, and they always talk about Sir Walter Scott's novels, and that, you know, they'll be rushing into the bookshop to get the latest Sir Walter Scott. He was massively popular, and it really inspired an interest in historical fiction. I can see what that one's there. So I'm interested in it, but Big Sleep, we did detective films in cinema studies at uni, and so I read The Big Sleep. It's not my normal kind of book.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's very well written and clever. But I don't know, adventure. It's more detective than adventure. So
do you know anything about the one before that? Mr. Standfast is an interesting title.
John Buchan, I did look at it. In fact, I've got it. It's on Project Gutenberg. I found it. They're very much the boys' own adventure type stuff, I think.
Okay.
He was a very famous writer. I've heard of him quite a bit, but not, again, books written for a male readership.
Too blokey, okay.
Yeah, very blokey, I think. And I looked at the first few pages and couldn't get into it at all. And The Hunger Games, of course, well, I only know them from the film, but I really think that most people are more familiar with the films than the books. Books are popular in a young adult readership.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
If a book is significant, at least in part because of the movies, how does that qualify?
Well, sometimes it brings people to the books and they realise that, yes, books are actually better than movies because books tell you everything.
Oh, not necessarily. I'd rather watch the film of Ivanhoe, the TV series, rather than read the book.
Depends on the depth of characterisation that you get from the book. And in a good book, you get heaps of it.
Yes. I think one of my favourite things that a child ever said when I was teaching was I had the audio book of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so we were listening to that. And one of the kids said, well, the book's heaps better than the movie. And lovely. I thought, if I retire tomorrow, my work is done.
Yep.
So I think what happens is a book certainly influences whether the movie will get made. So I think if it brings it to the forefront.
It's not an either or, it's a thing.
Just significant. So if the movie is taken from the book, so the movie is still the book essentially being interpreted through a different medium, depending on the degree to which it's changed. And if the movie has influence, then I think it's fair to say the book does. Like Game of Thrones, which is in the next month, I would say the books, they had a fan following, but the real reason they're significant now is because of the TV adaptation, which everyone on the planet watched, except for me.
And I don't know the Jack Aubrey novels at all.
But he is popular, but again, it's in a blokey kind of fiction that...
And I'm not a bloke. You may have heard from the voice. Oh, my God.
Carolyn, I wish you had given me that information when I was sitting down and not on audio.
Knock you dead, yeah.
Well, just to finish off, I was going to read a quote from The Hobbit on adventures. Because I guess adventure is a major theme of Lord of the Rings.
Yep, for sure.
And also the ending is when you come back from the adventure, that it's ended, it's over, that really depressing moment where you realise, I've got to go back to ordinary living. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? And everyone reading those books at the end feels very depressed. It's like coming back from an adventure. So it does take you on that adventure with them in the books. But this is from The Hobbit at the beginning. I should think so in these parts. We are plain quiet folk and have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things make you late for dinner. I can't think what anybody sees in them, said our Mr. Baggins, and stuck one thumb behind his braces and blew another, even bigger, smoke ring. And that's his response to Gandalf when he comes looking for him to go on an adventure.
Adventures.
But he is persuaded. He can't resist the lure.
We should go on adventures sometime. We could make up an adventure and go on one.
I think that's enough for our writer's discussion. So Michelle has a writer's tip.
I do. Please start journaling. These are really anxious-ridden times. I think no matter how laid back you are, these are really challenging times. So you don't have to start a massive blog or anything, but just get a book out and actually write down what you're feeling. You can rip it up and soak it in a bucket of water. Nobody ever needs to read it.
Oh, I've started writing things that I'm going to put up when you get a blog up, and it's starting off with that, how many toilet rolls we've got left in the house each day, and the hunt. Went to this number of supermarkets today. Could not find any bog roll. Down to this.
Please wait to go to work to poo. Like, you know, I mean, well, just write. You'll feel better, if nothing else.
Mm. Okay, and the word of the day. So crematistics is a study of wealth, or particular theory of wealth measured by money. And that was definition from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Bit of a boring word. Mm. Not my favourite this month.
I think it's cute.
But it's cute, and as nobody's going to have any money soon with everything shutting down, this might be something.
But writers can sell their books still, because people will be reading more because they're stuck at home.
I agree.
Well, I hope they do anyway, because yes, books.
Me too.
Publishers are still publishing books. I've got some words that I wrote that are coming out soon.
Publisher. Press, you can go online to Wakefield Press.
And Matthew Potter from Pure Slush. He's still doing his stuff, and I don't know, me and one other of members of Adelaide Plains Poets in his latest book that's coming out in maybe April. He's a bit iffy because you just don't know how things are going to go at the moment. Yeah. But there's still words to be written.
Yes, indeed. So has anyone got any writing?
I'm looking.
Well, while you're looking, I can...
Yep, no.
So this was on the subject of adventures and what actually can be an adventure. This is not me. I am Anya. This is not me, I said to myself. I wrote a letter to Hamish and sent it to him post restante. Usually I never bother with mail when I travel, but Hamish isn't like me. He's meticulously attentive to such things. How did his adventure compare to mine? It might sound more exotic, and was without doubt far more enjoyable, but it could not possibly be more unusual. He went to extraordinary places to do ordinary things. I did extraordinary things in ordinary places. Well, that was only a superficial assessment. Most people consider London to be ordinary. They read Dickens and think he exaggerated, created caricatures, but London is one of the most extreme places on the planet. It's kind of a human compressor. It doesn't just pack people in, but it twists and distorts them. The closest they are to the heart, the more twisted and distorted they are. I defy Dickens to generate any fictional characters as obnoxious as the Bolivers. He could easily have thought up the in-laws, though, had Whole Foods and Organics been about in his day. They had the hearts of the Boffins at their most loving and generous best, and the brains of the Rickfields when sober.
Very nice.
Okay, I have a little piece of verse, non-rhyming verse, just a short little poem of... two verses, five lines each verse. Untitled, which is unusual for me, goes like this. 1.5 metres, my space, your space, the virus is there, waiting. It's going to get you if you don't take care. Am I protected or not? And even if I am protected, it won't help anyone else, will it? So we'll stay away. It all stays safe, we hope. Is that depressing?
Depressing times, but we're being cheerful. I guess some positives will come out of this.
I think so. That always has to.
Well, already unemployed and students are getting a
livable wage,
livable income. Instead, they're about to lose all their income, and that's just flipped around. Because, anyway, I think we're done. We've read our words. Listener's challenge, and what is listener's challenge? Something about staying at home.
Yeah,
read books. Read lots of books.
Staying at home in Gawler.
Yes.
Staying at home in Gawler.
Well, it just goes to show that staying at home in Gawler isn't going to be any different than staying at home in the middle of Paris or New York or the Bahamas or anywhere else. I mean, we are thinking about whether we, all these fancy places. When you're at home, you're just at home.
Okay, well, we'll finish off then.
Excellent, thank you.
Next month's topic is...
life, death, and other worlds.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So it includes Dune, Game of Thrones, Ben Okri.
I think I borrowed one of his books. And Yeah.
I've got several Ben Alpley books. You should find and read it. But not the one that's on the list.
I can't remember what one it is that I have.
It's Magic Realist.
Okay.
And I've always
I don't know a lot about magic realism. I haven't read a lot of magic realism, but it's kind of one of those things where I keep thinking, I really should give that a go. But
I love it. I'd probably what I, if I do go back and do masters in literature, what I'd be doing my masters on. I think all my writing tends to have a slight magic realist flavour to it.
And I forgot, we still have a poetry competition. The poetry competition is still running. The theme for the poetry competition, the Adelaide Plains Poets is running, is Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N. And there's lots of visionary things to write about at the moment, I think.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up there, I think.
Yeah, and we'll see you all next month.
We'll be back.
With better news, no doubt.